Open your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 13. And while you're doing that, I would like to thank you for being here tonight and also for your prayers on my behalf in the past few weeks. We'll be reading the first 24 verses here in a few minutes. But let me kind of set the stage as to what is going on and see if I can find my glasses too. I hope they hadn't got away. But in the... Is this thing on? I hope. All right, now somebody tell me. It was on. Here it is. Yeah, it's on there. It's on. Okay. Well, that might help, might. Okay. All right, let me talk about what's happening before we read this text and kind of set the stage. King Solomon has died. The kingdom has been divided, and Solomon's king, Jeroboam, is reigning in the south, and Rehoboam is reigning in the north. Now, Jeroboam begins to, and I think I skipped a slide or two, but Jeroboam begins to worry that if the people continue to go down to Jerusalem to worship God as he has commanded, then they will turn back to the Lord. They will pledge their allegiance again to Rehoboam, and he says, and worst of all, they're going to kill me. He puts a little plan in place. He makes two golden calves, and he sets one up at Dan in the north, and he places one down at Bethel in the south. He appoints priest, after he has convinced the people that it's too much trouble to go to Jerusalem, he appoints priests from some of the lowest of people, and he begins to have those priests offer sacrifices to God, quotation marks. He says, the gods that brought you out of Egypt. Now, isn't that a laugh? But he said, he begins to offer sacrifices even himself. And so as chapter 13 begins, let's look and see what God has to say about that. And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priest of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon them. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. And it came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard the sayings of the man of God, which had cried after the altar, against the altar in Bethel. Then he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, lay hold on him. And his hand which he had put forth against him dried up, so that he could not pull it in again to him. The altar was also rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar, according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. And the king answered and said unto the man of God, entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, and pray for me, that my hand may be restored me again. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored him again, and became as it was before. And the king said unto the man of God, come home with me, refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. And the man of God said unto the king, if thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so it was charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. So he went another way and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel, the words which he had spoken unto the king. Them they told also to their father. And their father said unto them, what way did he go? For his sons had seen what way the man of God went, which came from Judah. And he said, saddle unto his sons, saddle me the donkey. So they saddled him the donkey, and he rode thereon, and went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, art thou the man of God that camest from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said unto him, come home with me and eat bread. And he says, I may not return to thee, nor go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me by the Lord, the word of the Lord, thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou came. And he said unto him, I am a prophet also as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. So he went back with him and did eat bread in his house and drank water. And it came to pass, as they sat at the table, that the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back. And he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord, for as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord, and hast not kept the commandments which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but came back and has eaten bread and drunk water in this place, of which the Lord did say to thee, eat no bread and drink no water, thy carcass shall not come unto the scepter of thy fathers. And it came to pass, after he had eaten bread and after he had drunk, that he saddled him the donkey, to wit, for the prophet whom he had brought back. And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way, and slew him, and his carcass was cast in the way, and the donkey stood by it, and the lion also stood by the carcass. Sometimes I think I'm guilty for sure. When I read a story like this, I might say, well, that was bad, wasn't it? That was sad. And it was. But I think sometimes we need to just take the time and think about the lessons that we might learn ourselves from stories like this. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 15, verse 4, "For whatsoever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scripture might have hope." So tonight, I hope we can look at this story and gather some prophets and not make the same mistakes that this man of God did. So we're going to be looking at the things that the man of God learned too late. I think it's noteworthy that at the outset of this story that we see a man who obviously was wanting to do what God had wanted him to do. He was willing to leave his country, confront a wicked king, and he was probably aware that if I didn't say some things that this king had liked, there might be some consequences. And as we look at verse 4, we see that that just might have been about to happen. And there's no indication that God was going to intervene until he did. He also showed a lot of courage initially. Also when the king said, "Come into my house, refresh yourself, I'll give you some reward." He said, "Not me." Because God said not to go. Don't eat anything, even bread and water, while you're there. And as he confronted the old prophet, he initially showed courage there. Because in verses 16 and 17, he told him, "I can't go back and eat bread and drink water in your house." But, and this probably happens to us too, he may have thought, "I'm strong enough to resist all these temptations." But sometimes when we think we may be the strongest, that may be the time when we're the weakest. And the words that was recorded in verses 18, "But he lied unto him." So the first thing that I think this man learned too late was the fact that God had finished speaking. Sometimes we run into people today from various religious groups, maybe. They supposedly are getting messages on a continuing basis, or they have received some message in the past. Which basically they're saying that the religion, the things that we believe, the things that we practice, are things that can evolve over time. But Jude verse 3 has a different idea. It says, "Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common faith, common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints. As Paul was approaching the end of his life, he reminded the young preacher Timothy that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished, or thoroughly equipped unto every good work. It seems that maybe even in the early part of the Apostle Paul's ministry, he had to deal with the same problem with the churches at Galatia. Because in Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, he said, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ, that to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and would pervert or distort the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. I think Paul maybe is like we have to do sometime with our kids. He said, now listen, I done told you, but I'm going to tell you again. So he repeats it. He said, though we are an angel, then let him be accursed. I suspect the man of God rationalized in his mind his actions because he thought the old prophet had in fact received the message from God. But the truth of the matter is he did not. So as we study or talk with those we come in contact with on a daily basis, and they indicate that they have received some additional revelation, then it is our obligation to test those things to see if they are true or false. And of course, we know that the only standard we have is the book I just read from a few minutes ago. Secondly, the man of God learned too late that the devil has camouflages. I don't have any doubt that the man of God misread King Jeroboam. I think he was convinced, or should have been convinced, that the devil was behind him. But he never suspected that he was also behind the old prophet, what he was doing. And God warns us. In fact, Jesus had this to say in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. When Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, speaking to them about his willingness to continue to preach without financial support, we find in chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians, verses 12 through 15, he said he did so to cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things that they boast. For such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And he says, and no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. 1 John 4 and verse 1 tells us not to believe every spirit, but rather test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Paul told the church at Thessalonica to test all things, hold fast what is good. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 21. And I wonder if Paul had in the back of his mind when he wrote those words, the things that he had to say about that particular group of people in Acts chapter 17, verse 11. He said, these people are not as noble as those in Berea. He said, those in Berea had received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things being taught were so. I think we're all usually able to resist those things that just look like from things from the devil. But I think we're often led astray by the things that appear to be good or maybe right by someone we have faith in. And I think Steve kind of alluded to this a couple of weeks ago. Just because someone has been a Christian for a long time, or if that particular person is held in high regard because he has preached for years and years, that does not relieve us of the responsibility of trying or testing the things that they say or teach. We must know what God's word says and not rely on what someone tells us it says, because the devil has camouflages. And thirdly, the man of God learned too late that feelings deceive. From everything I said earlier about this man, I have no doubt that he felt like he was doing right. And there are many examples of good people doing things or believing things that they felt were true, but found out later they were not true. Think about Isaac. He believed he was blessing Esau because of the hair that Jacob had on his arms. But no, it wasn't Esau. It was Jacob. And Jacob later believed that his son Joseph was dead when he looked at the blood-stained coat of many colors. Well, Joseph wasn't dead. He had been sold by his brothers as a slave into Egypt. Think about Saul of Tarsus, one of the greatest persecutors of all time, persecuting the early disciples in all good conscience because he believed they were teaching religious error. But in fact, Saul was the one that was mistaken. So we cannot trust our own heart, our own mind, to bring us to the Lord. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things. Proverbs 28:26 says, he that trusts in his own heart is a fool. So we must rather put our faith in and conduct our lives according to the words that we have been delivered through the Holy Spirit. On one occasion, Jesus was talking to some of the Jews who actually believed. In John 8, verse 31 and 32, he said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. 1 John chapter 5, verses 2 and 3 said, we are living according to his desire when we love God, keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. In the fourth place, the man of God learned too late that believing a lie actually condemns. So we noted early in verse 18 that the old prophet convinced the man of God that an angel had spoken unto him by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But again, notice the words we've already said, but he lied unto him. I'm sure it seemed logical to the man of God from Judah that the things that the old prophet had said were true. But we see in verses 21 and 2 that just because he believed the lie, God did not overlook his disobedience. God spoke to the old prophet and had him tell the man of Judah, thus saith the Lord, for as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but came back and have eaten bread and drunk water in this place, of which the Lord did say, eat no bread and drink no water, thy carcass shall not come into the scepter of thy fathers. So we need to understand that honesty and sincerity in our words, worship, isn't all that counts. On one occasion, Jesus reasoned with the Pharisees after he had reasoned with them. His disciples came to him and said, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But in Matthew 15:13, Jesus said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. If the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. As I read the words of Matthew 7, verses 21 and 23, it's a sad verse because there are a lot of good people out there trying to do what they believe is right, but they have been deceived. They have believed a lie. And Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. So the bottom line to this point is that we are all responsible for our actions. And Jesus reminds his disciples in Luke chapter 12 that everything that they have done would be made known, and concludes that they should fear the one who not only has the power to kill, but also has the power to cast into hell. And lastly, the man of God learned too late that partial obedience is not good enough. And that's something we ever need to keep before us. All of God's commandments are important. Things may not seem to matter too much to us, but they matter a lot to God. Think about Nadab and Abihu. All they did was offer strange fire, but God put them to death. What about Uzzah? All he did was touch the ark to keep it from falling off of the cart. But God struck him dead because he had no right to touch the ark. What about Achan? Well, he just kept a few treasures from the city of Ai. But as a result, the Israelites were defeated. And he and his family were struck dead. Ananias and Sapphira, they sold a piece of land and brought some of the money. Well, why not keep a little bit to ourselves? Well, God didn't appreciate that at all. And he struck them dead. James chapter 2 and verse 10 reminds us, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend or fail to keep the law in one point, he is guilty of all. We need to respect God and keep his commandments to the best of our ability. And our respect for what he says is because of who he is. And we should regulate our lives by his total will. Partial obedience will not be good enough. So all these lessons that this man learned too late are lessons that we need to keep in the front of our mind every day. Even though this man of God from Judah was willing to leave his country and carry God's message to a wicked king, he was a man of courage before the king because the king was not very happy with the message. And he showed courage initially by refusing to comply with the request of the old prophet. But he failed to recognize some very important facts that God had finished speaking. There was no new message for this man of God. He did not remember or recognize that the devil has camouflages. He recognized the king as one of the devil's people, but he never suspected that the old prophet was one too. And he needed to learn that feelings do deceive. I'm sure from what we've looked at in the early part of the story that he felt it was okay for him to go home with the old prophet because he had been a man of courage, a man of conviction up to this point. And he needed to remember that lying, believing a lie does condemn. Even if the message supposedly comes from an angel of God, this man paid the consequences. It cost him his life. And that partial obedience is not good enough. God expected him to do exactly what he had commanded him to do, and he failed in only one area. But that was not good enough for God. So this evening, there may be someone in the audience tonight who needs to hear the words of the Savior. Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 24, "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." And as Jesus was about to ascend into heaven, He told his apostles to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And in Mark 16:16, he says, "And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned." So if you need to be baptized and begin a new life of service to the Master, we urge you to do that now. And if you wandered from the fold, you need to make things right. And wouldn't it be a wonderful way to start a new week in the service of the Lord?